Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada. Joining us this hour is going to be Jack Mullen from the Government Rag. Well-researched writer on things that are of very much importance to the world, to Americans. And, of course, today's event will be the coronavirus as a psychological operation. So maybe if we say hoax, you know, like the artificial intelligence that scams through the artificial brain that they're building may not appreciate that word. But I came across something through one of my researchers called Event 201 Pandemic Exercise Highlights Reel, October 18th, 2019 in New York City. And this is the coronavirus tabletop exercise. People from a lot of big companies, the military, are all talking about this. They even do news clips from a made-up news network called GNN. But there used to be a GNN years ago called Guerrilla Network News that was avant-garde. But what CNN talks about is this guy's reading the same script, talking about how to handle the conspiracies and what the truth is and all this sort of thing. This is put on by the World Economic Forum at Davos, always something to be looking under your bed for, Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Imagine that. And they get into all the fine details of this so-called pandemic. I just laugh at the word when you say, oh, we got a case. It's a one case. We found a case. It's a pandemic. I'm going like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Well, that's an insult to any pandemic that's ever been in the past. 24 people died from popping champagne corks in the United States one year. I want you to know that. 30 people from getting bumped by a cow in the same year. I don't remember it being such a problem. But one of my little comments for this was reality is an illusion. A proper illusion is reality. The virus is a catalytic agent to cause a reaction. That reaction is to overthrow civilization for the complete domination of life on Earth. In that regard, it is a thought pandemic, creating a new reality of submission to authority. There can be no worse pandemic. And then as I was preparing a lot of this stuff, I started to hear on the news that Politburo leaders in Iran were falling from it. And then I started to wonder, well, if I was practicing the art of war at the high-end level, I could drop a biological agent on Iran, which would be an act of war. And we've talked about things like that, like killing Castro and all that sort of thing, with Judith Berry Baker trying to poison him. It's a common thing. But then they'd figure it out really quickly because only their Politburo got it. But if I seed humanity with this disease, try to make it into a global thing, you're just another victim of something that we can't even be sure of what you're a victim of. Because, as I understand it, they haven't really isolated the virus down to the, you know, minutiae, according to John Rappaport, what I was reading today from one of my researchers. So we can't even be sure what you got, if anything. But one thing we do have is we do have mainstream media pulling the plugs on this hand over foot. And just like as I did in my Gary Webb eulogy, you know, you just see the power that they have by turning all the demons loose on something to either create a reality or eliminate one at their leisure. And we're dumb enough to believe it and fall for it. That's a horrible state of affairs, my friends, a horrible state of affairs. And there's only one defense, really. Truth. It sets us free. And that's why I talked about Jesus' logic once before, because Jesus' logic tells us the truth. If the pandemic is real, then we lose our freedom. So it can't be the truth. If the fact is that it's a hoax and we show it and elaborate that, then we're set free. We're free from their control and manipulation, so therefore it must be the truth, according to the logic of the Lord. Can't get any better than that. Anyway, Jack, you, based on what I sent you, wrote a marvelous piece. Bill Gates' pandemic emergency simulation now gone live, to talk about this awesome disease and the effects therein. Start to take us down your thinking process.
Well, I, as you said, the video that's in this article I wrote, which, by the way, is available at thegovernmentrag.com and also blog.thegovernmentrag.com, two places we put articles. We try to get them up to date so that they're similar in the articles that are maintained. But sometimes one will end up on one and not the other. And so if you don't see it where I said it was, it's on the other one. Anyway, you sent me a really nice video. Let's see here if I can bring it up so I can remember who the guy was that did it. What was his name? Anyway, the title of it, while I'm looking for it, was Did Bill Gates and World Economic Forum Predict the Coronavirus? And so when I started watching that article, or when I started watching that video, I was just blown away by how this can be. How can we be told that this type of scenario, this tabletop experiment, which is really it's a dry run. And I'm sorry, I found it. Spiro Skouras was the fellow's. Skouras, yes, okay. Anyway, he made an amazing video here, and I've checked him out. He's done some others too, so look at his work. It's wonderful. But anyway, with isn't 201, which is emergency board scenario where these do-gooders are sitting around a table and claiming that they were asked to be there to help save mankind from this dire situation, which they call a coronavirus outbreak. And, you know, I thought that they may have named it something else in the likelihood that the coronavirus would be here next week. Actually, it was 6 weeks later. Everything basically that they did in this mock epidemic emergency was what actually really happened. And they show in their original, in the pictures, you know, that they were doing. In fact, they had commercials. They made their own commercials. I mean, they set it up to be almost a War of the Worlds type scenario where if you were looking at it from the point of view of, I didn't know this wasn't real, you would think, oh, my God, we have, you know, there's a pandemic breakout, and these authorities have been asked to help solve this problem. And then they break in with their own commercials telling us how many people have been infected and showing vectors. And one of the first, handful of vectors was China. And they said, you know, 30,000 people have already been infected. And I'd already seen, so when you sent me that video, I'd already seen a couple of other examples of predictive programming that represented this particular event in history, and I was just floored by it. I want to go back to the material in event 201 there, but also we see other things that Jack London wrote an article in 1907, which made it out. And somewhere around 1910, some people say it was published in 1914. But regardless, I found where he had written it in 1907. And in 1907, he's talking about a way in which the West would have to deal with China because China was going to become too large. And in the article, he predicts that the population will be over a billion and that China would expand outside of its borders and become impossible to do anything with. In other words, you won't be able to stop it because there wouldn't be an army on Earth that could stand against it. And so this little story he told, which was really a short story, he goes through history. It's a story about future history, so they call it something. 1976 came around. He was talking about, China had reached the point where the other nations were really concerned. And to make a long story short, they decided that they were going to have to deal with China without using armies. They attempted to attack China, but China laughed at them and said, bring them on. And so what they had was a ingenious plan come up with by one of the scientists there. His first name was Jacobus, strangely enough. And he came up with the idea of creating some form of a virus, which they then dropped on Peking, the capital city, which incidentally at the time of this story, which was 1976 in the story, and 1907 in reality, it said that Peking had a population of 11 million. And they dropped these test tubes on these people from what they called airships. And I could only imagine it might have been dirigibles or some form of balloon. But anyway, the people laughed at them, you know, saying, if that's, you know, this is the best you can do. But within a few days, they came all over China, and they continued to say that, you know, it wasn't more than a week or so that most of the 11 million people in China, or I'm sorry, in Peking, were couldn't be found anymore because they were dead. And so this thing continued until it wiped out the population of China. That's an interesting story, and people can find a link to it on my site. But then, you know, there's others. There's Dean Koontz, Eyes of Darkness, in, 1981. He talks about a scientist named Li Chen, who comes up with a formula called Wuhan 400. And it was developed outside the city of Wuhan. And it was a viable strain of man-made organisms that caused death. and they defined it as a perfect weapon. Now, how interesting is that? Now, obviously, Wuhan's been around for a while, and I don't know how long they've had a level 4 biolab, but it seems unlikely they would have had one in 1981. A level 4 seems to be a more modern designation. But anyway, that's predictive programming. And then there was a End of Days, a book called End of Days, Predictions and Prophecies about the End of the World by some female named Sylvia Brown. She published this in 2008, and in one of the paragraphs that I highlighted there, it says, in around 2020, a severe pneumonia-like illness will spread throughout the globe, attacking the lungs and the bronchial tubes, resisting all known treatments. Almost more baffling than the illness itself will be the fact that it will suddenly vanish as quickly as it arrived and attack again 10 years later and then disappear completely. That has some interesting connotations here, because we all heard Donald Trump say, well, the coronavirus will be gone by April. It'll be over. And the fact that she mentions it's a severe pneumonia-like illness, you know, has to do with another interesting fact that I just recently discovered, and that is that this coronavirus seems to be responding to antibiotics and not antivirals. And as a result of that, I read a really fascinating article just this morning, and it's up on beforeitsnews.com, but don't dismiss it. It's pretty, it seems to be pretty authoritarian in what these guys know about. They're talking about the fact that if this is a real coronavirus, then it may not actually be the coronavirus that's causing the problem, but some sort of a tendon or something that would be hanging out with the virus. There's a name for that, passenger virus, I think. Anyway, it's a mycobacterium that would cause tuberculosis. And then this article goes on to claim that the 1918 flu epidemic was, they were not able to find anyone who died of the flu that didn't have tuberculosis at the same time. And then they made the references to the fact that China, as you know, just had a big, massive slaughter of pigs because they all got some sort of disease and had to kill them, and they killed more than 40% of their entire country's collection of pigs. And then he said that back in 1918 there was a pig virus that decimated pigs in Kansas, and that they had to burn the pigs and they burned their feces. Well, the same thing happened in China, and especially in Wuhan. And so he's making the connection between that particular flu and this coronavirus, maybe both having a relationship with tuberculosis, and that's why antibiotics are working. So that's something that's, you know, if there is a virus or some sort of bacteria or anything that's actually killing people, and I like the way you introduced this, because there's no way for us to know. We know that Bill Gates and the folks at Johns Hopkins and others created a simulation of this exact event that included most of the same language, the same vectors, the same number of people dying, and then continued on to make, alternative media was nothing but false and fake news, And they were, in fact, they had some people reading some of the information about it, talking about it, the amount of misinformation is wreaking havoc on the CAPS response. Health workers are under attack in a number of locations due to rumors that are purposely spreading the disease. And response efforts in many places have had to be suspended because of concerns around violence. And they continue on. This is a massive problem, one that threatens governments and trusted institutions. I don't know that you can put the word governments and trusted institutions in the same sentence. National governments are considering or have already implemented a range of interventions to combat misinformation. Some governments have taken control of national access to the Internet. Others are censoring websites and social media content. And a small number have even shut down the Internet altogether, preventing the spread of misinformation. Penalties have been put in place for spreading harmful falsehoods, including arrests. Now, if you're watching this without knowing that it was a simulation, you'd be going, oh, my gosh, this is really bad. And, of course, you and I know that governments are the least trustful entity since the founding fathers had their first 35 years or so of trying to take control of this monster they created. The governments lie about everything. They lie about how we got into World War II. They lie about what the Federal Reserve Act is. They lied about the JFK assassination, 9/11. They lied about why and how the U.S. Liberty was attacked. And we could go on all day, actually. And I'm sure you have a list of hundreds of examples in Canada the same way. So it is very interesting to see a group of people pretending to be so self-important that they believe that their requirement to save people's lives and make them healthy requires them to become an authority that is, in fact, totalitarian. And so I noted in their story, it's an experiment where, this group of young men, 24 of them, I think, were asked to, they were randomly chosen at Stanford University for a psychology type experiment where they were supposed to be, some of them were jailkeepers and some of them were inmates in this prison they fashioned. And this gentleman, Philip Zimbardo, was in charge of this experiment. And he wrote a book called The Stanford Prison Experiment, the Lucifer Effect, Understanding How Good People Turn to Evil. And it was amazing. After 6 days, they had to stop the experiment. They had to just shut it down because the way the prisoners were being treated, the rising amount of violence, it became incredible. If you read it, you're just stunned. You're like, this is exactly what this little board is about, and this is what most governments are about. And the more they cut our ability to have information freely from many sources, the more likely they're becoming totalitarian and eventually outright totally evil and capable of mass murders like the Soviet Union, after 1917 that are incomparable. And most Americans can't wrap their heads around that sort of thing. We've talked about it many times. So I find that it's pretty strange that this particular event can go on, and at the same time, there's nobody asking questions right now. Say, hey, Bill and Melinda, how about coming in and talking about how this happened to happen exactly at the same time this thing started? It's got to be some sort of explanation for that. Why is it in predictive programming in three different places? And why is it that we don't really sense that anybody's dying? I've looked at lots of Chinese pictures of hospitals and so forth, and I see a lot of stuff there that just downright looks silly. And it reminds me of the other false flags we've seen over the years. So I agree with you, George. This is, something that we have to regard as either an experiment in some sort of non-infectious disease, or there's no disease at all. In fact, you could just take 1,000 a year die of the regular flu in the United States, and it turns out, that we don't see any more than 3,000 or so dead in this, even though I've seen articles where, they talk about 112,000 or 80,000 dead. There's no evidence of that we can actually know about ourselves. And so what we do know, though, is that it does do a nice job of bringing the stock market down when it was oversold to the point of, you know, a nosebleed. And it gives excuse to cover up for the declining financial stability of the United States financial system. And you take California, for example, how is it that, you know, they can have one death, they claim one death, and they got a state of emergency, and but they have thousands of people with the flu to death. 700,000 people are killed in a hospital each year by the hospital. Well, we don't have anybody worrying about that. So I think this is pretty crazy, and I believe that there's more to it than we're being told. I think it's just a baby step towards that control platform before they will come and react to this and the way they react. And, you know, again, we're being marched towards this spinal prison plan and maybe towards the, you know, the population fall by the stone there in around each region. So that's my thought on that particular article. I think we still have a few years to go to find out if we're going to get any sort of predictions that made people that this country locked down because of the fear attended for virus with travel restrictions and maybe people being at home from their work and have to work at home and not, and something is going to be very bad for a lot of people. The state system are critically close.
Okay, the music's here, so we got to take a break and come back on the other side of the hour. I know I've been going through some of my old notes and found some interesting stories to bring up on the other side. This is Power Hour Nation. I'm George Freund. We'll see you there.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made. Good for you. Food stores are left to eat. Yum.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada. Joining us in this segment is Jack Mullen from the Government Rag. We apologize for some of the technical difficulties with one of these internet protocol phones, but we do our best. In the analog days, I used to tease people, some days I'd have to climb my TV antenna and go a little higher up to get better reception for things. We just like Green Acres, climbing the phone pole and hooking into the line. That's just part of the process. I learned a couple of Greek words, a while back, and they're very, very pertinent and easy to remember, as I didn't think I could ever remember a Greek word much, but the word for sleep was hypnos, you're asleep. The word for smart was exhypnos, you're awake, you're free from sleep. You're smart, because the brain's turned on, it's working, you're seeing what's going on in the world, and most people are asleep. And it's our job, our purpose, our duty to wake them up. As I was going through, I was trying to find, email link that I had stored about tuberculosis and the flu, because it was a Toronto doctor back in the 1918 flu pandemic that was actually doing autopsies and showed the connection that it was tuberculosis that was killing, not the flu. See, that's just, we come up with a Santa Claus myth, and that takes hold. It becomes reality, but it's not reality because the truth is something far more different. And that's why it's so important, I was telling people, a couple of shows ago that, go to KCAA, the radio station in Loma Linda, California, that has a complete Power Hour archive for a good number of years while they were on that station, and download them onto your hard drive. Who knows? Hundreds of years from now, they'll be the equivalent of the Nag Hammadi Gospels to say there was a truth in our lifetimes that has been covered over or masked. And if we save that, then basically, we save humanity down the road, because it's a never-ending struggle until it's over. And hopefully it's not over with all this microchip technology. I feel this is being used so that we can institute a police state system by using health laws, because if we scare you to death about this disease, and a lot of people are, then you'll run quickly to take whatever remedy we offer. We have this camp, and we chip you, and we give you a vaccination, and you'll never have to worry about this again. And the fools will line up and charge there en masse. And then the enemy achieves checkmate. They win. We lose, as always. But this one article I came across from 2008, there were two researchers
working on this at Imperial College in London, and they were working on the H5N1 and mutations, combining it with a cold weapon to make it a better weapon by adding a common human vector. And both these young men died. They were viciously murdered. Laurent Bonanno and Gabriel Ferrez, both 23, were found bound, gagged, and stabbed hundreds of times in their South London residence. And it just shows you the level of debauchery that is used by the New World Order, by the enemies of freedom, by the Nephilim or whatever is controlling our lives, that they resort to nothing that could be called, you know, decent, but they'll do any evil to get at us, to control us, to take out the heroes, and keep marching us down this path to domination, which appears to be electronic, inserted, or hived to natural us. And this is the Great War. And probably most people on this planet have absolutely no idea it's being fought, have no idea that they're losing, and are actually submitting themselves to be slaves of it. And when we lose all our jobs to AI, don't think for a minute that we will be looked after. I think what will be looked after is will be fertilizer to something or another. That's what will be looked after. There's no way that they're going to pay us just to sit around and do nothing. We are the slaves, the worker bees of whatever this deep state is. And we have to just take that for granted. And remember to exercise our liberty. As soon as they're going after the guns, you know for sure they're going after you. But our freedoms and our firearms seem to be the most important things for them to go after, and that has to be resisted completely and totally, basically by an education process. You know what one of the most dangerous things is in a hospital, believe it or not? A doctor's tie, because you seldom get them cleaned, and they're just a giant bug factory from top to bottom. Can you believe that? The doctor's tie. And I don't see anybody just putting their hands up going, ah, panic, drop to the floor, a tie. But it's true. And this is some of the things that we have to remember. And FDR said it the best, the only thing to fear is fear itself. Because that gives them power. They, and I look at them as some sort of entity, they get power from your fear. Or your hatred, your anger, your bitterness. That's why Jesus taught to walk away from those things, because why give the enemy power? Right? But we do, over and over and over again. And I'll reiterate again the Lancet article that I came across from one of my researchers. Glycyrrhizin, an active component of licorice roots, and the replication of the SARS-associated coronavirus. And when you see the pictures under the microscope of what's there and what's not there after treatment, it's very, very clear, just like the rubber tree and just like the cinnamon, you've got a solution. God gave us everything we need to build and heal our bodies. And sickness is a deficit in vitamins and minerals. I remember coming across that was the first thing to wake me up was reading about military history in the South Pacific and things like dengue fever and beriberi and the fact that there was an absence of certain things in your body that caused this disease. It wasn't that you got some kind of bug or some type of poison from the ground or anything. It was a lack of something your body needed that made you sick. They know what it is, and they won't tell us. For most of it. Anyway, Jack, let's get back to the SARS corona. I think one more thing I'll just say quickly before you get started is while I was preparing some of this stuff too, the Lord told me to remember the building of the Chinese cities that have no one in them. When we see videos of Chinese cities that have no one in them, guess where they probably are. And then, as you mentioned, too, the slapstick of some of the videos. One I saw, and you know, that started me with a big doubt, is a guy's walking down the street and he falls dead. When I used to be a Teamster and work in a union job, we had a guy called the Comp King, who always would find a camera somewhere, take a dive, so he could go on compensation. And it just reminded me of this guy. It just looked like total slapstick that, you know, he was taking a dive, and he was trying to control his landing as opposed to that he just fell down dead in the street. And, you know, that was my take on that image. All right, Jack, what more can we add now from your perspective?
I was just thinking about a number of things while you were talking there. I was looking at, I've been writing a lot about the Constitution because I got a chance to go to Houston a couple weeks ago and meet with a group that was basically about trying to, revitalize or empower people with knowledge about how the Constitution works and how it is still there and can still protect us. And I think they're all related. I wrote an article also in the last couple of days that is about the Constitution. It's called Where the Constitution Meets the People, and that's sort of a play on the idea of where the rubber meets the road. But I was thinking about, you know, this government that they talked about in Event 201 is not the United States government. It's some corporate entity that has masked over the real U.S. constitutional government, and that government sits empty. I mean, it may well still have a room in Congress or in the Capitol building, but there's no one there, and the senators have been removed because of the 17th Amendment, and we have just basically vacated the original common law U.S. constitutional government. Jefferson said Congress has not unlimited powers to provide for the general welfare, but is restrained to those specifically enumerated, and it was never meant that they would provide for that welfare, but by the exercise of just those enumerated powers. Next, you know, government imagines that they can scare people into not even paying attention to the fact that they have rights and things that are still there and they can claim. If they can learn how to claim them, and they deliberately removed all that kind of conversation from high schools and colleges as well. But on your own, you can learn that you have constitutional rights that still exist, and if you learn how to assert them, and especially if we can get enough people to do it at one time, they can come back. And this particular article was about how the sheriff in any particular county is the ultimate authority when it comes to constitutional law, and he is the highest law authority in the county. And he can prevent or stop an enormous amount of things that are unconstitutional. He can command that they not be enforced, for example. People can go to the jury's system, through the jury system, and be jurors and use jury nullification techniques where they also can fail to enforce unconstitutional law by simply saying, I'm sorry, he's not guilty. And these are solutions the Founding Fathers gave us, and they exist, and we can still use them. And I hope that people can learn about this and begin to shift against the monster that's been put in our face. And that includes the government and the rising number of immigrants that come from incompatible cultures and cultures with no history or a long-term exposure to liberty and cannot and do not think the same way that Americans think. And these people are being used to outvote, what I would call mainstream America. And anyway, so back to the coronavirus. I wanted to state that we're really looking at something that appears to be, if it wasn't designed this way, I just couldn't believe it. It appears to be something that's been in the works for a long time and predicted with predicted programming. And I believe behind it they will find a way to roll out another set of requirements for vaccines. And yesterday Congress authorized $8 billion in aid for the coronavirus. I'm not sure what for, But regardless, $8 billion has just materialized from nothing, and the United States taxpayer will pay the interest payment on that nothing. And could it be that that $8 billion, as was suggested to me by one of my Facebook people, is really about creating a forced vaccine program? I don't know, but I know that we see that Israel has announced that they just happen to be working on a coronavirus. In fact, in the article, it says, but just by luck. And so they are in the works trying to create a virus. In this conversation about their coming soon virus, we see Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, I'm sorry, a vaccine, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is out with the plans for a new vaccine. And so, George, you and I were talking at the break about how this system seems to desperately want to get inside of people's body. And one of the biggest topics that I got a chance to listen to and talk about while I was in Houston 2 weeks ago was a chance to listen to Sherry Tenpenny and, you know, just new information about vaccines. Vaccines are a horrible scourge of toxic chemicals and immune system dysfunctional compounds that damage the brain, and depending on what type of vaccine, cause cancer down the road. It's a long-term poison. Some of them are acting short-term, as we see lots of people that have been administered a variety of vaccines that have died on the spot. But it is amazing to me the amount of money that goes into pressuring United States citizens into forcibly vaccinating the public. And I believe this is just as dangerous as taking our guns. We have two places. We have the physical world outside of our bodies, and we have that unknown world inside of our bodies. And it's these things have they're kind of like talking about, you know, going to out into outer space with a space force. It's vapor, and they spend money on vapor because we can't decide if it's real or not real. And what they tell us our vaccines do and what they're actually doing are definitely two different things. And we're not able to understand what they are completely because we didn't design them, or most of us don't have that background or education. And so we need to worry about them taking our weapons. And we see what they're doing down in Virginia, and they're going to do this in every state. We need to alert, share, also prevent you from being forcibly vaccinated. There's nothing in the Constitution that provides any authority for vaccination, nor in state constitutions, which are subordinate to the federal constitution. So those things then are color of law, should they create some, as they do, in, for example, in states like West Virginia, where they force children to be vaccinated to go to school. What they're doing is forcing a certain percentage of them to be damaged immediately with autism and other immune-damaging diseases, and others to have long-term lower quality of life because of the effects they have on their systems of allergies, for example, is just one of the miseries. But there are plenty of things that show up later in life that can be caused by vaccines earlier in life. And so these things are wrong, and this is probably what part of this corona virus scenario is about, because in that little event 201, they make they have some little woman there talking about how the fake news has created vaccine deniers. Well, I think that we should be now talking about vaccine damage deniers, and I believe that there are quite a number of publicly recognizable vaccine damage deniers, like the CDC, the World Health Organizations. Most of the physicians that you know and see every day are VDD. And so we need our letters to challenge their letters.
Well, I have one here, if I may interject. That's another thing I found in my archives from the Globe and Mail back in May 1st, 2009. Lessons of 1976, flu fear wasted millions. Government scrambling for solutions to the current outbreak risk repeating mistakes of a decades-old health scare fiasco. And back in 1976, the United States put out a very costly public health fiasco where more people died from vaccinations than the dreaded influenza. And back in that day, one of our crown ministers, Mark Lalonde, said,
Oh, my God. That was the time I threw away $10 million. But that is the nature of these things. If you do too little, you're accused of negligence. If you do too much, you are wasting money and causing panic. These are very difficult calls. Well, perhaps they are if you believe the wrong side. But there we have it. You know, back in 1976, the vaccination killed more than the flu. And, you know, they're just, you have, they're stumbling in the dark. And anybody can stumble in the dark. And then their thing is smart people stumble in the dark. So because smart people stumble in the dark, then that has to be correct. And when someone who isn't as smart stumbles in the dark, ex nepos, then you know, that can't be true. But it, there is no such thing as conspiracy, people. It's called deductive reasoning. You plug in your brain and you use it yourself and you come up with solutions to problems based on various data that's put into your mind. And it's not programmed into your mind where you openly look at things and come to solutions. So that's something they desperately do not want to have. And then when they get you chipped and under the control of the giant computer brain, I've always said since I first learned of this, you'll be like the Borg in Star Trek. You'll just be like some humanoid robot working slave under the control of the giant computer brain. Does that sound so great? Or would you rather get on your horse and ride and say, to arms, the artificial intelligence is coming? Okay, Jack.
I'm going with you. I'm getting on my horse.
Me too.
And we all have to now say that fear is, we're done with fear. We can't, I mean, humanity has never been much out of a yoke ever. The little bit we were out of the yoke probably was in some latter or earlier half of the 1800s United States. And that may be the, we may have been the freest governed nation on earth. And now, you know, it's back to total dark age tyranny. And it's happening at real time. And it's going to be something that overnight. And it's taken step by step by step until it's here. I wanted to point out to you, George, you said, you know, it happened to be a number of people in Iran be mysteriously attacked by this coronavirus. I noticed that the top five there, or at least I'm looking at three of them, South Korea, Italy, and Iran, are the in the top five places being attacked by this coronavirus. And if you just do a little bit of research, you can see that all three of these nations besides Iran, and I say three because Malaysia's in there as well. It's just not on this list I have. But South Korea, Italy, and Malaysia, you know, they are making deals with Iran, and those deals are not favorable. For example, you can see in the Financial Tribune, Italy bolsters Iran ties despite U.S. displeasure. And you can find an article similar to that for South Korea and cities in Malaysia, city states. So, you know, I wonder, could that be a coincidence that these people are suddenly being attacked? I mean, what cover could that provide for you? You pretend a virus that's globally pandemic, even though not very many people are getting it or dying from it. And at the same time, you go into these nations where you have people you want to punish and you provide them with some other medical weapon that, you know, stamps out their lives. And I certainly think that's not worth dismissing out of hand. What do you think?
Oh, definitely not. I look at it, if I'm taking it in from the grand perspective, is the disease, the alleged pandemic, is a cover story for probably the release of biological toxins on certain enemies, and public enemy number one for the banking infrastructure in many nations is Iran. They are on the chopping block, and if they could eliminate or threaten to eliminate a large numbers of people controlling Iran, I think they could have a lot of power over them. So this is something that is very, very important to take in the grand perspective. That is the art of war. That's how it works. It's just we're not allowed to even think about the tools the enemy uses against us. And one of the things as I was going through some of my old articles on some of these diseases, you know, I looked online for something because I couldn't find it in mine, but one-third of the people have or are carriers, pardon me, of TB. It's just not an active version. So what some of these things could do is just turn it on for you. And then, you know, you get into a severe respiratory event. Here in Toronto, like they, and probably many other places, you have people, you know, oh, you got coronavirus, go home and you're in independent seclusion, quarantine until you get better. Well, that's hardly any kind of disease, let me say. Like, you know, my father died of a severe respiratory disease. Whether he was breathing or not, his lungs sounded like a coffee percolator and he was in intensive care. That's something that's going to kill you. And I got better because I took all kinds of herbal things, and I got better. You know, sweated with a high fever for 5 hours, and then it broke, and then I talked like the Godfather for 3 weeks. But and my mother got it. She just came down instantly and just fell on the floor and was hospitalized for a long time and never the same again. But she survived. And that's what happens when you have one of these. So you don't go home and just say, oh, you know, take two aspirin and call me in 3 weeks or something like that. So this kind of shows that this the thing they're trying to tell us isn't anywhere near as dire as they're making it out to be. And how can we even verify who these people are and what they are? Anyway, it looks like we've run out of time already. So thanks for coming out. We hope we've enlightened you and taught you about the beast and how to resist. I'm George Freund. We have Jack Martin. Thank Mullen, thank you very much. We'll be back again in 2 weeks to educate you some more. Ex hypnos. Bye-bye, Power Hour Nation.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.